Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols from the District Sports Page, Doghouse from Federal Baseball on the line after the Nationals' big 7-5 win over the Miami Marlins. They take 2-3 in the series. It's a big game for one particular National, but we'll get to that right now, Dave. Start with Tom Kohler on the mound for the Marlins in the series finale. 7-3, 7-1/3 scoreless versus the Nats last week in Miami. 3.22 ERA, 2.19, 3.15, 3.75 line against in 36 1/3 innings pitch versus Washington in his career. Up 2-0 after the top of the second, but Bryce Harper takes him deep to left field on an 0-1 fastball. First at bat of the Nats second. Ball just kept on soaring out there to left. It was the start of a good day for Harper. We'll get to that in a minute. But that first home run didn't look like one off the bat. Just kept on soaring. Must have caught a Gulf Stream or a jet stream going out to left field in Nats Park.
Yeah, you know, those fancy stats had it measured at not even 100 miles an hour off the bat. So he must have been just waking up and getting started there with the first home run. Back-to-back 92-mile-an-hour four-seam fastballs from Kohler, and Harper just had it measured, and he was pretty locked in all day today.
So, guys, you were at the game. Trouble for Kohler again in the third. Denard Span with a double. Ian Desmond pops up the short center. Marcelo Zuna playing deep. He has to charge in for it. Can't get there in time. It drops in the center field. Sack fly by Yunel Escobar to get the Nationals tied up. And Bryce Harper steps in again. Homers again. 4-2. Puts one on the upper deck. 31-pitch inning. The Nats really made Kohler work for that inning. Ian Desmond with a big 9-pitch at bat before that pop-up, but then Bryce Harper comes and hits another one. This one out to right into the upper deck. The one he hit after this, which we'll get to in a minute, went a little bit further, but I could have sworn he was going to hit the Coca-Cola sign on the scoreboard with one of these blasts. That was a huge one, though.
Yeah, he hit a little farther every time he hit it. That one, he hit it 400 feet if he hit it a foot. And holy cow, did he clobber that ball. This is exactly the sort of thing that the Nats should have done to Matt Latos. And, they saved it up when they decided to do it to Kohler tonight. They should have done it to the last time they played Kohler and when they were down in Miami. But they, all right, fine, they caught up to it. And Bruce Harper clobbered that ball. Holy cow.
Bruce. Dave, two home runs and two at-bats. What does he do the next time up? 0-1 slider in the fifth. Harper goes upper deck again. Third home run and three at-bats against Kohler. Number eight on the year. You get 6, 7, and 8 in consecutive at-bats. Number eight on the year in 2015. Another one on the upper deck. And Bryce Harper is just unstoppable at this point. We might want to give some of those MLB players who voted him the most overrated player in baseball their votes back after this performance today.
Yeah, you know, three straight at bats. He hit the second pitch out for home runs. The third was on an 87-mile-an-hour slider, and I guess Kohler got done throwing him fastballs and decided to speed his bat speed up a little bit, give him a slider, and it didn't make any difference. I mean, this is a special player we're watching develop. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show how he's developing into a more complete player, and the home runs are fun, but also watching him have a game plan to go up there and swing it at pitches that he wants to swing at and spinning on everything else. I mean, this is it's truly a special time for Nats fans to be able to watch a player like this developing and becoming the more complete player that's always been envisioned for him.
Yeah, just 22 years old. I saved this question for you, Doghouse, because I think Dave was watching at home on the broadcast like I was, so he might have known the answer to it. But before I get to the question, Dave mentioned Bryce Harper, a really big day there. He told reporters after the game, definitely one of the better moments of my career. He joins an exclusive club with the Nationals, Doghouse, one of only four players to have a three-home run game. Can you name the other three? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, geez, I'm going to have to guess here. I'm going to say Adam Dunn, Willingham, and Ryan Zimmerman.
Got two of three.
All
one more chance.
We're
over
Brian Wilkerson.
The last one. No, not Brad Wilkerson. Dave.
Alfonso Soriano.
For the win. Alfonso Soriano, Adam Dunn. Ryan Zimmerman and Bryce Harper now, four Nationals with three home run games. Bryce Harper's last one puts the Nats up 7-2 at that point. Max Scherzer on the mound today, Dave, facing Miami Marlins for the first time. He faced the Florida Marlins back in 2009 before they changed their name. Going into the game, second lowest home run per nine this season in the NL, one home run allowed in 35 2/3, tied for fifth in the NL in K per nine, third lowest opponent's OBP at 230 on the year, third lowest opponent's slugging percentage, 258, I'm sorry, down 2-0 early after four straight singles, and Marlins second settles in after that, though, 6 Ks, 60 pitches after a 20-pitch, 2 K 4s. Eight straight batters retired at that point, 14 of 16 set down after the early trouble. 10-pitch six left them at 86, 101 pitches, 10 Ks after a 15-pitch seventh inning. Kind of thinking that might be it for them. Were you wondering if they were going to send it back out there for the eighth inning before we get to what happened in that?
Well, they were leading 7-2 at the time, and I certainly didn't really see any particular need to send him back out for the eighth inning. And certainly, if he put the first runner or first two runners on, I would certainly think that it would have been time to lift him. Considering all the problems that the Nats have had in the bullpen, it's hard to really, really fault Matt Williams for leaving his best player in at that point. But there just was no need for it. I mean, he had a completely rested Drew Storen. He had a couple of other arms in the pen that hadn't pitched in a couple of days. It really was not necessary that he left Scherzer in to face Stanton. I mean, he would not have let any other pitcher on his staff do it. Scherzer had thrown a lot of pitches at this point. He put the first two runners on in the inning. It just seemed kind of silly to allow him to do that.
Yep, and he gets into an epic battle with Stanton, who is 1-for-11 going into the series doghouse, 0-for-3 today before he came out, battles for 9 pitches, gets a slider he likes finally, absolutely crushes it, 3-2 slider on Scherzer's last pitch of the game, his 111th overall, if I remember correctly. I'll just double-check myself on that, 114th, but Stanton really puts a charge in one, puts it out to left, and makes it a game all of a sudden, 7-5 at that point. Are you surprised as well that they left Scherzer in to face Stanton if they were going to send him out for the eighth inning?
Yeah, well, you leave Scherzer out there, eventually he's going to make a mistake, and Stanton hit that almost as far to the full side as Harper did to the full side. So I was a little thinking maybe he puts the first runner on, you get Roark up. He didn't get up until there were two men on, so Matty couldn't have pulled him. But, the game's kind of a laugher. You can see giving him a time to rest, especially with his pitch count where it was. I'm not going to criticize, given that the bullpen's worked pretty hard over the last 2 days, but he had three reasonably fresh arms he could have put out there. So it didn't work out for you, Matty. You almost lost it, so we're going to give you the down check on this death sort of bullpen management by proxy.
Yeah, my biggest point here is that he'd already thrown over 100 pitches. It's the eighth inning of a Major League Baseball game. You should have a guy up at the start of the inning just in case, and he didn't.
Yeah, I had to bring Tanner Roark on. Roark, I can never say his name correctly after 3 years of saying it wrong. But, Dave, you have to be somewhat satisfied with the Giancarlo Stanton came into the series in a little bit of a slump, but the Nationals pretty much held him at bay. Ends the series 2-for-12. That was a big home run that got the Marlins back in the game, but the way they pitched Stanton, throwing him sliders off the plate, as we talked about last night, they kept doing that today, really had him guessing. It looked at the plate. He didn't look too strong in against the team and in a park where he's normally dominated in that pitching.
Yeah, I've got no problem with Scherzer's pitch choice there. I mean, the way to get Stanton out is to throw sliders on the outside of the plate and make him chase it. And for the most part in the series, they did. He just left one up a little bit, and Stanton was able to do what Stanton does to it. So, I think the Nats took a pretty good approach to him. Stanton has always killed the Nats, and he's a very good hitter. I think the game plan in general was good against him. Just Scherzer didn't get the location that he wanted on that one.
After Scherzer was out, doghouse, Tanner Roark, I said it right that time. comes on in relief, gets a ground out from Marcell Ozuna, but Justin Bour, who continues to impress and has managed to shove Michael Morse to the bench, gets a single. JT Realmuto singles as well, puts two on in front of Ichiro Suzuki, but Tanner Roark comes up big, strikes out Suzuki, which is not easy to do, gets a ground out from Adani Hecheverria there, another high-leverage inning for Tanner Roark, another successful outing, gives up two hits, but gets the strikeout and gets the Nationals out of that inning without further damage.
I don't understand. What's his role? Has he been demoted now? Is he no longer the closer? Now he's just a setup guy? What's next? Are we going to use him in junk time or for long relief or something? Get consistent.
Make up your mind.
What are you doing to your relief pitchers? No, another good outing for Roark. My only regret here is that we didn't get to see him strike out Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, he had to settle for striking out Ichiro, which is tough. Another quote from Harper, just because I'm reading it as they're coming along on a Twitter, Chase Hughes from CSN. That's how I should be, plain and simple. That's how I should be. That's how I expect myself to play. If you can do that every day, Bryce Harper, you'll make a lot of Nats fans happy. Dave, we'll go back to you for the ninth inning. Drew Storen comes on and makes it interesting again. Hit by pitch on Solano. His fastball was a little all over the place at the start of the inning. D. Gordon singles in the next at bat. All of a sudden, there's two runners on, and the go-ahead run comes up to the plate. He pops Martin Prado up the right. Then he strikes out Giancarlo Stanton in a fantastic at-bat for Storen. Pounded him inside with fastballs, got the sliders away to get him swinging. Marcell Ozuna, the next at-bat, just manhandles him. Three pitches, three strikes, gets him out of the game. Storen gets a save again, a really strong outing by Storen. Eighth save of the game, one hit allowed, two Ks in the inning.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I'm going to have to tip my cap to F.P. Santangelo here today on his analysis of the ninth inning here. You know, Storen came out the first two batters and was all over the place. He was getting out in front of his pitches. He had no control whatsoever. And then that first pitch he threw to Prado, the first pitch slider, really seemed to lock Storen back in again. He was a completely different pitcher after that. He was able to hit his spots. Obviously struck out Stanton and Ozuna to finish the outing. So it was interesting to see the pitcher adjust during the inning. I mean, this is a case where, you know, he hits a guy, has trouble controlling anything, and then he throws that first pitch slider, which causes him to slow his thought process down. And was able to lock back in and then just be the dominant Drew Storen that we've seen on occasion.
Doug, as I know you were at the park, you had to sweat this one out at the end, but Drew Storen finally got it done, a nice, impressive outing, even though he started a little bit shaky.
Yeah, I was never worried. You know, two base runners, sure, he had to make it interesting. Two base runners in front of Mike Stanton. That's a little more interesting than I generally prefer. But other than the pitch Scherzer left up that went far, 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 but not as far as Harper's, Dave's right. The Nats have been pitching Stanton very tough this series and very effectively. They've gotten him to chase some sliders away and get himself out. They've gotten him to make some weak pop-ups and weak fly balls. I'm not going to say that the Nats have solved Stanton because I'm sure he'll come back and do more horrendous things because we know how he loves to hit in Nats Park. But they have been very effective against him this series. And against a team that has some good hitters on it in the Marlins, that's neutralizing Stanton takes away a lot of that.
Dave Harper wasn't the only one hitting today, of course. Denard Stan, 2-for-4 with a run scored. Ian Desmond, the same, 2-for-4 with a run scored. Yunel Escobar, 1-for-3. Harper, 3-for-4, 3 runs scored, 5 RBIs. Just a monster day at the plate. Wilson Ramos, 2-for-4 as well. The Nats get 12 hits together, 7 runs. After struggling with runners in scoring position last night, they go 3-for-7, 5 left on base, but really came through with the offense in the series finale and took one from the Marlins to get the series.
Yeah, and something interesting that I'd like to point out that we haven't mentioned yet is that Jason Worth with 2 days off in a row and then the off day tomorrow, so Williams is effectively giving him a 3-day holiday here. I think it's interesting and telling, as badly as Worth has played and as low as his contact rate has been, to give him a few days off, and I don't know if There certainly hasn't been any reports of any injury flare-up or whatnot. This just seems to be a mental vacation as much as anything else for Worth. So I find that aspect of it fascinating, too. But I want to find out the guy that had Yunel Escobar hitting third for the Nats at some point this year and shake his hand and get some more future tips from him.
Yeah, I know I posted the story around 10:30 or 11 this morning, so that's 8 o'clock your time, so I'll forgive you for not reading it, but there were reports out of Nats Park today that shoulder is barking a little bit. I think the word they used was cranky, said it's bothering him a little bit, so they did take advantage of the chance to get 3 days off, but they said they expect him back in the lineup on Friday for the series opener with the Braves, so hopefully nothing about that, but it is bothering him from what they said, so hopefully 3 days of rest that they gave him here and not using him last night in a decision some people criticized, going with Tyler Moore in the last at-bat there. There's apparently a reason for it. They're trying to give Jason Worth some rest. He's only had 2 days off since he returned from the DL in 21-22 games. They did give him a rest today, 3 days in a row. Hopefully he'll be back and healthy on Friday and swinging the bat since he was starting to pick up a little steam and at least make contact when he went down, but didn't need him today because Bryce Harper did all the hard work. 3 home runs, 7-5 Nationals over the Marlins in the series finale. They take 2 or 3 from the Fish. Braves up next. A day off tomorrow. We can all rest. So I'll talk to you guys on Friday night.
Go Nats.